know if you're aware of it, but at the end of this month, February 26th, is Ash Wednesday. Now, that might mean very little to you, but it is the time that leads us into Easter, where we start to remember Christ's road to the cross. And so it's a period called Lent, and you know it probably by more about the idea about giving up something. Even as Christ gave up his life, we enter into that with him. That's already starting at the end of this month. It just seems to catch us very quickly. And so what I wanted to do in preparation for that is a Lenten service, is to try and get us thinking already towards that. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to start that off today with the Lenten series that I've called Know This. And it focuses on the upper room discourse. So the conversation that Christ very deliberately had with his disciples in that upper room, you know, the Last Supper room, he took time to talk with them and intimately and in depth to share with them a number of things. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He was very much aware of the road that he was to walk and the events that would take his life. He would give his life freely and, of course, be resurrected. And that stands, of course, at the center of our Christian faith. And he takes time, he pulls his disciples together, and in effect, he says, know this. Remember this. It's very much in the idea of when someone knows that they are dying, when they're on their deathbed, oftentimes friends and family will come alongside. And oftentimes the person will hang on because he still wants to see or she still wants to see. I know Jake testified to this again with his brother Jerry coming from BC. Bob held on until he could see his son one more time, and they had, thank God, about 45 minutes or so conversation yet before Bob passed away. Well, Jesus very much knew that he was about to pass away, that he would be taken from the earth, that he would be crucified. And it's almost like he calls now his disciples, his friends, together for that kind of conversation, for that intimate conversation of saying, hey, know this. And so that's where this series, the idea for this series has come from. So the upper room discourse is found in John chapter 13 through 17. So that's the chunk of scripture, the Gospel of John, that we are going to be tackling until Easter time. So if you are the person that likes to read ahead or to soak it in, to reflect even before the services happen, I'll be walking through those chapters from now until Easter, starting today, with chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, in a sermon I've called The Lesson of the Towel. And we're going to read that together. So if you brought your Bible, which again I always encourage you to do, take your own Bible along so that you can make markings in it and highlight stuff. If you didn't bring your Bible, there should be one in the seat back in front of you, the seat bottom, rather. And I ask that you refrain from marking those ones up. But by all means, read them. So John chapter 13, 1 through 17, the lesson of the towel. Hear the word of God. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." This is the word of God. Have you ever been in a service where there was a reenactment, maybe, of what Jesus did with his disciples? And maybe that's not even the right word, reenactment, because it makes it sound like it itself is just remembering something that happened and it's not significant in and of itself. It's a very humbling experience. It's also one that often causes a lot of, discomfort in people and even tension. When you ask for volunteers, usually what happens is that kids are much more likely to come up with that innocent heart and step into that than adults are. As adults, we are hampered somehow by, I don't know if it's pride or if it's, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I mention that because I have felt those things. And when I've seen the bowls and I've seen the towels, I think, oh, I don't know if you've had that feeling or that reaction. And you start thinking about your feet and you start thinking about your socks and you start thinking about, I don't know if people will be handling that, and I hope they don't ask me. I hope they don't force everyone to do this. Have you been in that place? And I know we're not supposed to admit it because this is the example of Jesus, and we are to do this and enjoy it, perhaps. I don't know. I've deliberately, as you notice, avoided, in my title of this sermon, that foot washing idea. And I went instead to the lesson of the towel to try and draw you in, to try and keep you away from all those feelings that are brought up when we talk about foot washing, the memories perhaps of having taken part, and you may have good memories of that. But I've found that we ought to be cautious about a reading of Scripture that is too literal, or maybe an application of the foot washing that is too literal. And I know some of you are already frowning now and say, what exactly is the pastor getting at? And is he trying to diminish the demand of Scripture? Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there was very good reason, of course, why Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. First of all, when they sat around the table, oftentimes in those times, they would not just sit around the table, they would almost lay around the table. Sounds like a wonderful idea to me. And so their feet would very much be in somebody's face. And of course, there were dusty roads, there were sandals, and so as you're about to eat, and you have the reality of feet that had been dirtied by the road, it just made sense that those feet needed to be washed. Well, I don't know how many of us lay around the table to eat anymore. So our context is quite different. So I think it is a legitimate question to ask, do we take this practice that made a lot of practical sense in those times, and do we simply say, well, this is what we need to be doing even today? And I think we ought to think about that at least. I think we ought to be cautious with a literal application of this story. And so, again, I have focused on the towel. I have found that a more helpful image and maybe a more contextual picture. Come with me. I think we need to take notice of some things in the passage. And I couldn't help but include this. I thought it was the kind of thing that makes me smile. If it doesn't make you smile, it's all right. Notice. Thank you for noticing this new notice. Your noticing has been noted. But anyway, there are, seriously speaking, some things that we ought to take note of in the passage that I think will help us to know a little bit better what is going on, to move us beyond an all too literal application of what is happening here in this text. I think there are three things that we need to take note of. The first thing is that the gospel writer John here is the only one who includes the story of foot washing. Okay, now there are four gospels. Okay, John is the one that is not part of the synoptic gospels, and the synoptic gospels are those gospels that they more closely resemble each other. Right, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, they all include a different story at this point. Rather than foot washing, they tell the story of the Last Supper. We're all very familiar with that. The Last Supper happened just before Peter's denial. The foot washing also happens just before Peter's denial. And so what happens in these four stories, three of them tell the story of the Last Supper, and then John takes a bit of a turn, and he chooses not to tell the story of the Last Supper. He chooses to tell the story of foot washing. So why is that? I think should be a reasonable question that we need to ask. We know what the Last Supper is about. Jesus sits with his disciples and they have that Passover feast, that meal. And as he breaks bread and as he pours the wine, he turns this Last Supper into this thing that we have now termed the Lord's Supper, communion. Right? And so Jesus takes an ordinary meal that, and he breaks the bread and he says, "This is my body." Now, we are so used to those words that we don't even stop anymore. But of course, this is before the arrest and the crucifixion and all of this is happening. And so Jesus here is speaking a bit in parables. And he is saying, what exactly is going on? This must be really deep, the disciples are thinking. And then as he pours the wine, he says, "This is my blood." And again, you can imagine that they heard this for the first time, and so it would hit them completely differently. We've come to learn and to understand and to know that what Jesus was teaching his disciples of what was to happen to him, his body would be broken, his blood would be shed, and that was for the complete remission of all our sins, as I say, when we serve communion. It was Jesus' final and ultimate act of service. It was a sacrifice because he gave himself wholly. He gave himself completely. The ultimate act of service, and it's ultimate because it led to his death. He was willing to do this, to serve others, even at the cost of his life. We understand that about the story of the Last Supper. And because John tells that story in place of the Last Supper, I think we need to take that understanding and realize that Jesus is telling the same story, or he's making the same point when he washes the disciples' feet. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out to you." Somehow there's a connection there with, "Let me wash your feet. You need to be cleansed. You need to be clean." So we need to take note of that. The second thing that we need to take note of about the foot washing story, about the lesson of the towel, is how it starts. Many of the commentaries that I used, because I do try to see what other people are saying about it, so I try to learn from others, and many of them suggest that the story starts really at verse 2. And then there's a minority, a quarter of the commentaries, about a third of the commentaries make the point, no, it starts at verse 1. And you say, "Oh, well, this is typical. Theologians, and they are bound to disagree with one another." I think it starts at verse 1 very clearly. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And now pay attention to these words: "Having loved his own who were in the world." We can talk endlessly about what that means. His own who are in the world. Jesus died so that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. So who are those who were his own? Best left for God, that question. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Then starts the story of foot washing. I think this verse sets the stage. I think it would be a mistake if we launched into the story in verse 2. Because verse 2 launches into the evening meals in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, and so it focuses on the evil intent of Judas rather than the amazing love of God. The amazing love of God always trumps evil intent and sin and the plans of the devil. So we have to start, it seems to me, with that picture of the strong arms of God, the love of Jesus. Especially when it says, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And what follows then is the story of the towel, the lesson of the towel. The third thing that we need to note in this story is that the story is filled with the idea of knowing. Knowing is very important. I don't know if you picked up on that as we read. When the Bible repeats ideas, I think we better start paying attention. It's important. Something is being, we're being drawn into this. God is trying to get your attention. And he knows that our attention span is limited. So if he repeats and repeats and repeats, he's making sure that you don't miss it. And this is exactly, I don't know if you picked up on it, what happens in this story. Verse 1, just before the Passover peace, the Passover feast, it says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. Jesus is very much aware of the road that he's about to walk. He knows what this is about. Jesus is fully aware of his calling. He's fully aware of what he's going to be asked to do. He is fully aware of the suffering, the sacrifice that he's about to make. We keep reading. In verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. So not only was he deeply aware of the sacrifice and the service that he was called upon to make, his calling, but he also knew that God had empowered him for this calling. We don't always know that, do we? There's things that need to be done. We believe that God has a call in our life. But we're not always, I think, so confident that we are able to do that, or God has chosen us to do that, or that we have the ability. There's all kinds of figures in the Bible. Moses says, well, I can't do that. I can't speak very well. You want me to go to the Pharaoh? We have all kinds of Moseses, Mosai, in our churches, right? We need a pastoral elder. Well, I can't do that. We need a GEMS leader. We need a Sunday school teacher. We need, I can't do that. So what is it that God is calling you? I don't know. But so when God calls people, he also empowers them. That comes out very clearly here. Verse 3, Jesus knew, verse 3, that the Father had put all things under his power. And he knew that he had come from God. And he knew that he was returning to God. I'm going to throw that at you as well. How many of you know that you have the stamp of God on you? You too have come from God. You are the works of his hand. You are not an accident. You are not just, you didn't just appear in this world through a careless act or carefully planned act, however it may be. You've come from God. That story of Adam in Genesis, and he picked up the dust and he breathed into the life that you have, the image that you carry is the very image of God. You're the very representatives of Christ. And whatever happens, however many years you may count, for some, many others, tragically or surprisingly, those years are fewer, but you will be returning to God. He holds you in his hand, in the palm of his hand. We sang that song. He names each one of the stars. And surely if he names each one of the stars, he knows your name. He has named you. He has formed you. He has sent you. And he will call you back to himself. Jesus knew all that. I think that's what enabled him also to walk this road. But we go on, verse 7. It says, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. These are really just other words for knowing. You do not know now what is happening, but later you will know. We're using other words that mean the same thing, knowing. You do not realize, you do not yet know, but later you will know, he says to Peter. We go on. Verse 11. He knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said not everyone was clean. You think Jesus washed Judas's feet? He knew. How many of you? So you're in this church and you're in the ceremony and you say, oh, I hope the pastor doesn't make everybody do this. And then he calls people up. And then Kyle sits up there. And everybody knows what Kyle has done to you. That guy cheated me. And he's been talking crap about me behind my back. Please, Lord, let somebody else go up there and wash his feet. But then he says, no. Ivan, you go up there and wash Kyle's feet. And that's the force of it, right? That's the force of it. Sorry to pick on you, Ivan, but he knew who was going to betray him. We go on. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he says, do you understand what I have done for you? Again, it's another word, but do you know what I have done for you? The washing of the feet is one thing, but do you really understand the significance? Do you realize that we're talking at the level here of the Last Supper? What I have done for you. I'm serving you in humility. I'm dying for you. I'm sacrificing myself and putting myself aside for you. Do you know what I've done for you? Verse 16. Very truly I tell you. I tell you the truth. That's another way of saying know this. The story is filled with the idea of knowing. It's very deliberate. He was going to show them the full extent of his love, being fully aware of all these things. And then we reach the last verse, which you can hardly read. Oh, you can read it a bit better there. Verse 17, and it says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. End of sermon. You will be blessed. You will be blessed! That's the story everybody wants to hear. Yes, blessing. It's the health and welfare gospel. You will be blessed. If you do them. Do you know that Jesus is showing the full extent of his love for you? Do you know what you're being called to? You'll be blessed. Now that you know it, Go and do it. And that's the clincher. That's how this story ends. Do what? You notice that I didn't put bowls up here and I didn't make you do this exercise of foot washing. And maybe I should have. Because there is something beautiful, there is something humbling about that. I'm not trying to discredit that in any way. To be moved out of our comfort zone and to be placed in that position, yes, there is definitely value in that. But what's the value in that every day? So you haul the grocery cashier clerk and say, let me wash your feet. I'm not sure that she's going to be impressed. I'm not sure that she's going to agree. Now you know it, go and do it. Do what? If you're a child and you see one of the children in the playground being left out, and you go and meet them and say, you want to join us? If you need someone to talk to, do that. Take a risk. See somebody in a fellowship hall who you don't really know, and say, who's that? And you got your friend there, and you got that guy there who looks a little shady. Go and do that. Say, hey, how are you? Yeah, but I'm not comfortable. I'm not very good in talking to strangers. Go and do it. Pastoral elders. I can't do that. Go and do it. You know what that person called me last week? I haven't forgotten. I've been sitting with it all week saying, I can't believe he said that about me. Maybe it is time for you to reconcile and clear up the air. I can't do that. Let him come to me. You know the lengths that Jesus went to set things right. Do you know that? Do you know he did that in his great love for you? Now go and do it. You go and do it. Jesus sets an example. How many other things can we mention? Go and do it. Step into it. I don't know if I can do that. You'll never know if you don't do it. The foot washing story. I want us to recognize the process. It starts this with the great love of God, and he's going to show his disciples how much he loved them. And he was going to show them how to love practically. That the whole middle section of this story is about knowing. Knowing. Know that your time is limited. 80 years. Some of you have moved past that. I don't mean to scare you. And some of us take for granted 80 years, and I don't mean to scare you, but we don't know. Know that your time is limited. Know and follow the example that Christ has set for you. He's made it very clear. He showed them the extent of his love. Christ has set the example. Now go and do likewise. Know that it will ask of you humility. I won't like it. No, you may not like it, but go and do it. You might have to set aside your pride. You might have to say, you know what? Somebody has to take a first step. I'm not going to do that. Let him come to me. When you have two people saying that, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. Humble yourself. Now, don't be a doormat. You don't have to. This is not going to take away your identity. This will add to your identity. You have become servants of Christ. Take on the mantle of Christ. Take on the character of Christ. Take on the love of God who sacrificed himself to take on himself the punishment that was due to us. He humbled himself. The God of the universe, sitting on his throne. The only God, Yahweh. There is no God greater. Should he have to die? That's exactly what he did. Because of his great love. He will ask of you humility. And know this, there will be those who will betray your efforts. You know, I've done things for people, and when they're grateful, I get some reward. I think, yeah, makes me feel good. But what about those times when you do something for them, and you don't even get a thank you? And I say, well, I'm not doing that for him again. Forget that. There's no benefit. There's nothing in it for me. Yeah. You will not always be thanked. Know and remember this. You are sent by God, and to him you shall return. Did you go and meet Kyle? Did you go out of your way to embrace the stranger? Did you dare to step outside of your comfort zone? Did you listen to that small, still voice of the Spirit? Did you obey? Did you trust that God will give you strength in your weakness? Did you set aside your pride and replace it with a humbleness, a humility? Starts with love, it goes to knowing, and then it ends, the story ends with doing. Have you ever walked into a bathroom? Yeah, Joanne knows where this is going. Have you ever walked into the bathroom and saw like paper towels on the floor? You said, and you open the stall, and there's like little pieces of toilet paper on the floor, and have you ever been disgusted and annoyed and say, really? Did you ever pick up the paper towels? That's not my job. I'm glad I'm not custodian of this place. They don't pay me for that. I'm not doing that. I walked into the kitchen the other day, and it was interesting. There were paper towels laying on the floor. And I was walking around there, and there was like three people in the kitchen. And these, and I said, is there a good reason why these paper towels are on the floor? You know what the response was? I don't know. I didn't put them there. Oh, okay. Wasn't my question. But John 13, verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and said, let's get it done. This needs to be done. But you are a rabbi, you are a teacher. It needs to get done. Are any of you doing it? No. I'll do it. Many of us are ready to throw in the towel. Forget this. The church has failed. Church has failed me. The church has failed the world. Why should I put in the effort? Why? Forget it. I'm done with this. We throw in the towel when Jesus takes the towel, wraps it around his waist, rolls up his sleeves, says, let's get it done. That's the lesson of the towel. Let's pray. Father, you've washed us clean. You've washed not only our feet, you've washed our hearts, cleanse our minds, give us new ways of thinking. Renew in me. Renew my heart, O God, and put your spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen.